Now your family don't like me. This I understand. I don't want to settle down. I'm just a rambling man. I'd rather be out rocking with my good old country band. Yes, I would. But listen, baby. It was great while it lasted.
Shaftesbury Avenue with superior acceleration left them standing. Shaftesbury Avenue has blasted away from Super Impact.
Private Steer's coming at it now. Our Egyptian Rain just in front of Private Steer. Private Steer lunges! What a run!
Racing to win has closed the margin very quickly, and the odds on favourite took the lead from Murderjill and Casino Prince, and Hugh Bowman shoots him away racing to win by about three quarters. He's too good.
You taught me how to nasty in those naughty high heel shoes. The devil wears.
Hot Danish in front. Clark goes full bore now. She's a neck in front of Melito. Down the outside, Beater's running on, but it's Hot Danish's day today.
My good old country mile, make no mistake. You'll always be on the speed dial.
But it's all Hayless with 150 to go. Hinchinbrook runs to second out in the middle of the track. Beautifully rated right in front. He runs the 1400 out and coasts it.
There's only one more thing to do. I know that I can keep a secret.
Atlantic Jewel moving up to Rain Affair. She's got a head in front. She's about a half a length on Rain Affair. Not much in the tank, but she'll get home.
Just for old time's sake.
Over the concluding stages, All Too Hard is thundering up the centre. He's challenging Rain Affair. All Too Hard and Rain Affair, and the three-year-old All Too Hard beat Rain Affair.
Cascadian, those coming to rain on the party. It's Stefani in front. Cascadian with the big white face right over the top. Cascadian wins the All Eight. Giga Kick, Sustani, the run went up with Zaki. Giga Kick and Zaki, two lengths away, then the Bandersnatch and Cascadian. But Giga Kick's got a strong kick, and he goes home in the group.
And honor you with children, and stay together forever, forever.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
G'day, thanks very much for getting our year-round carnival preview of All Age Stakes Day. Bit of Rod Short one more time, because that's what we're doing, the Sydney Carnival one more time. Jeez, it's been some good winners of this All Age Stakes when I was having a listen to it. Vince Accardi, Daily Sexuals, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ralphie. Been a good carnival.
It has been. We want to put the mouth guard in one more time, because and it's actually come up a pretty good card.
Oh, absolutely. Even better when you find the winners.
Well, exactly. That's what we're charged with doing. We start with your mindset. The rail's out 7 metres. There's a bit of rain about. What's your mindset like on how the track will play, both condition-wise and with the rail out 7 metres?
Well, I haven't given too much consideration at this stage for the track condition. So at this stage, my thoughts are just going to be on a good four, and we'll see what happens from there. By tomorrow morning, I'm sure we'll have a bit more insight.
Yep.
As far as the rail seven, well, we know the lanes. They start at lane eight here, because that's 7, 8, that's four. So it's going to help some on pace horses for sure. Well, you're going to have to get wide, Ralphie, because it's a little bit of a narrow strip. So
either super wide or the leaders get the advantage.
Yeah, you're going to be in a situation where you probably really do, if you're a rider, you really do have to aim for the middle of the track, getting that lane 16 plus, which means, again, that's about 10 off the fence. 8 to 10 off the fence is probably the next great spot to be. Most importantly, you do have a genuine 3-4 running lanes to work with in the home straight. Not a lot of space for a lot of horses. It's probably going to be most advantage for those horses leading stalking.
All right, let's start with the all-age stakes, the Group 1 at Race 8 on the program there. It's a super race, Vince. I suppose the conundrum's going to be a couple that are, you know, have they got another big run in them, or have they shown their best so far this time in? So a bit of trainer's intent and a bit of who's still got another big run in them. How are you seeing the speed in this race?
average Ralphie.
Yeah.
Because our Buffalo River, my view is I feel it's done. And once it's done, when you go through the intel, it's a horse that gets back down to that benchmark process. I'm sure this horse has got a purpose to be all the way for this race. And I'm sure even if the horse is done, they're going to ask for an additional extraction out of the horse. Like, in other words, you better start running. So that means we're going to be benchmark plus two. That's really what I see. Who's going to challenge it? Maybe Bandy Snatch, maybe Magic Time. Michael D wouldn't be surprised at all if that wants to own the front. And even Dylan Gibbons wouldn't be surprised at all if he wants to own the front. So hence the reason why I'm potentially saying we could be plus two. Again, Ralphie, we've seen it plenty of times when I've said it's benchmark plus two and they go plus six or seven. So who knows? I'll be very keen to see what Tim Clark can actually extract out of Buffalo Bill, speed-wise.
Yeah, he's been going up forever, as you said, and including in some brutal races. Your IVI forecast, plus three cutoff. So we're going to race with a fair bit of talent in it.
Yes, we do. And we're going to have to look at these couple of key horses that automatically meet that line to see whether things are good for them or bad.
So you've got most advantage, and this is your Friday printout, obviously, of your early edition. Then you'll start shaping a bit more. And the starting point is Private Eye. Well, he couldn't have gone any better in the Lightning. He lost the speed out of his legs that you explained at Randwick. He was posted off the track in the Galaxy. And then his Barrier Child of the Eye last Friday seemed like he's back on point. What's your thoughts?
I hope so, because I feel that Joseph Pride's made some errors through the carnival.
Yep.
This is an error that I feel he's made with this horse. And there's only so many runs a horse has, Ralphie, before they're done for the prep. So the question mark now is, where are we at with Private Eye? So I put that aside and just went on the fundamentals and working on the process that let's hope there is one more run left in the horse, and that being the case, then this is going to be a very, very hard horse to beat. And I do feel getting back, James should easily be coming up the middle of the track. I'll be shocked if he doesn't. And that's the reason why I felt that, okay, if I give him a plus three, it's like at the low end of the curve for him. We might be very, very lucky. And what prices are, Ralph, just out of curiosity?
It's about $8.
Wow, yeah. I was thinking to myself last night that we might be really lucky and be gifted with a really big price. So that's right
in fact,
now.
$9.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Right now, this is the talent in the race.
Yeah.
And it has a fair bit of edge. And I haven't scored this horse anywhere near its top, by the way. I've just been very, very fair and just assuming we're sort of not really going to trend through the roof. We're just going to trend where we are. So I don't really feel I could score it much lower.
Nashua Will and Brett Navdala have had a great association with him, but as you said, J-Max riding tomorrow, and he rode it in the Barrier Child, which I love personally. I just like saying that even a rider at J-Max level, I like that he's had a feel on the horse.
Yeah, well, for sure. I get it. I'm just more, hoping that Joseph can get it right fourth time round.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So when he ran in 2022, when he was in the zone, he came off some heavy tracks he doesn't like. So let's take a look at the conditions. But at Eagle Farm there, he got back on track over 1,300 in the Group 1, and then he ran a monster when second to Alligator Blood. That was his fifth run for the prep.
Yep.
But generally, he's been sort of a horse who peaks third up. But as you said, it's been a messy sort of preparation.
It really has. And this is why Joseph Pride has, for me, over the past several years, has really demonstrated how brilliant he's been. For some reason, I felt that he's a little bit like the Blue Jackets. It's like a little bit on the sideway road. And the clarity of his decision-making in terms of where to place and what to do, I don't feel it's been on point. And it's like everything else. These aren't machines. They only have a finite number of runs, and they haven't been set up. Even the last run, right? It I don't believe he made the right decision. He definitely didn't make the right decision. Second up, and then when I think through and say, okay, I get why he went to the 1,000 first up, perhaps my view, this is just my view, maybe he should have started the campaign on the 9th or 3rd if that was his intention. Now, you did touch on it some time back, Ralphie, about politics and all these things. I don't get involved in that, but I understand what you were saying, and there may be a real lot of truth to that, and this has reshaped his thinking about his planning. Last start, again, I go, what on earth are you doing in that race, really, right?
At 1,100,
yeah. Right, 1,100, because now we're up to 14. So the good part is this. Is the horse fit and ready to go? Well, he has to be, right? It's just, do we have one more where he can have... See, he needs the explosion. He needs that big sprint. Now, 1,400 metres, Ralphie, make no mistake, you know, this horse is going to be fantastic, right? This is going to be like gold for this horse. We don't have to go back, like you said, go back to Eagle Farm. Well, second up. Was it second up off of Freshen Up?
Off of Freshen Up, and that was to Alligator Blood. So what if he brings that figure tomorrow, what else would you have him?
Well, this is the one in 2022.
Yep, second in the Stradbroke.
Even money.
Right. So that's the choice for our listeners. Let's get to Espiada. Now, she is absolutely a distance specialist at 1,400. She's been staying at those sort of slightly shorter distances, although last start, of course, at Randwick, she smashed the line. The context is, and we discussed this in depth, this was a rare slow-tempo TJ Smith, but we've seen her at 1,400. We see her that she can generally go very well fourth run in, and she is, though, I suppose the caveat to put on the table is probably a drier the better, so we wouldn't want to see Rain smash the course tomorrow. But on talent-wise and 1,400, where do you have her?
Well, this is the other runner. Like, if we knew they were both peaking tomorrow, we just close the book, say it's a two-horse race, and with some possible potential horses that may test these horses, but like goodness me, they would have to do something extraordinary. But the reality is, Espiona, again, you know, I sit back and say, has Mr. Waller had the greatest preparation with this horse either? And you know, where's his mindset now? This horse has had challenges, so I just sort of sit back and say, okay, has that all worked out right? You have a look at this campaign. See, the way I'm looking at it is 98 days off. Had something in the paddock, but we're talking about something small, Ralphie, right? Because the previous prep was 126. The horse had 5 runs, and really, those had some sensational performances out of that. This time in, the horse has come back, I felt, superb. A little bit like Private Eye, you know, in great order. That first up run of Flemington over 1,000, I felt was like fantastic and a great place to start. Then they went second up over 1,300 metres, and the horse produced 2.5 lengths above IVR benchmark, top 7 for the day. I absolutely love the way the horse performed over the last 800 metres. I mean, between the 8 and the 4, it's gone 5.4 above, last 400 plus 4. Then we've had a 28-day freshen, landed on the heavy track, and we're 1,200 metres. Not a real lot of speed for the horse through the first section, but I feel the horse is fit and ready. The yard, we're probably going to want to see that, but this is the other critical horse in the race. Yep.
All right. Well, they're the two that I actually mentioned. Just for completion for our listeners to understand what you meant about the politics, the two I mentioned actually were in this race, Private Eye and Espiona.
Yep.
They were so good in the Lightning. The logic said that they would go to the Newmarket, yet both went back to Sydney. So
yes,
that was the point I was making at the time. I don't know if I was right or wrong. I'm just saying it observationally. Sunshine in Paris is Airborne. And probably you're saying that the query is just about the preparation with the other two, whereas this looks like it's just no preparation, as in no queries on the preparation. It's just going absolutely fantastically.
Well, yes, this is like Annabelle Newsham, like right on the game, doing her brilliant best. I mean, I love the horse. I mean, you have a look at this. Very, very lightly raced, had 196 days, had only the one run, and then had another long break, and here we are, and returned in absolutely outstanding form. First up, Rose Hill, 2.6 above, 6 best performance of the day. Not an overtaxing first few hundred metres in that 1,100-metre race, going 3.1 lengths below benchmark, and then really built up the energy through the last two sections, and I love that last 400 metres, plus 5.5. Then up 100 metres to 1,200 metres at Randwick, found itself with a race shape, was almost seven lengths below benchmark, no big move in the mid-race, and just an even finish for this horse's capability. One of the, well, in terms of its whole career, was probably the poorest last 400 metres. And I'm okay with that, Ralph, because I absolutely know that horse felt the first up run. And now we're at 1,400. So the question is this. It's had one start at 1,400. You can look at the intel and then say, okay, it won that race. Overall score was on the soft side. It was plus one. And I look at the speed through the first two sections that day, minus 5.1, and between the 8 and the 4, it was 2.4 below, but it had a solid finish. And I feel that that horse could have been at the end of the prep too there, Ralphie. It was pretty much its first campaign. You don't know when a horse is going to be done in their first ever prep. Now it just feels like this horse is targeted here, and potentially this is the one that could rise to the next level. And I don't believe, like, if you had to go to plus five, it might be a big ask whether the horse can or cannot do that. But to get to plus three, we know the horse can already do that. So I have an expectation that this horse is going to be extremely competitive and test the middle of the other two.
Ryan Maloney goes on. He's ridden her three times for two wins, which is a good start. And then I looked at his stats. He's ridden seven winners in the last week. So he'll come here with his confidence up.
He certainly will, but no doubt about it. It's a great opportunity for him to potentially snatch victory.
All right, the headache camp for you, Vince, the Mar camp. They chose to miss the Doncaster on the heavy track with Southport Tycoon and said he trialled. Looked like he did exactly what they wanted him to trial last Friday, and he comes here third up with a bit of freshness, 7 weeks between runs, but he's had two trials in Sydney. He had another one prior to that aimed at the Doncaster and Jamie Castics.
Yeah, interesting here, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, it's actually fourth up, Robbie. Yeah, but 49 days.
Yeah, I've got a train
to
change. Yeah, sorry.
But that's okay. You know, he's using the tool 49 days. So I find that very interesting. Why the 49 days? Well, maybe a chance to freshen up, because when you look at this horse, he came to the races like very fit. That first up run, all sections above benchmark, Ralphie, over 1,200 metres, and got stronger. There was no decrease in speed, and the horse was out of the gates above benchmark through the first section. He tied it to be a little bit flat, but still put in I felt a great performance of 1,400. And then we're up to 16. Then the horse gets victory and produces a plus 2.3. Race matrix scores it a little bit lower, Ralphie, around 1.7.
The one point, point on that day, remember that was the aeration day. So there's been some funny results that have happened from that day.
True, true. And that's understandable. I felt the horse perform well.
Yeah.
Not going to be able to knock this horse in any way, Ralphie. And this was one of those two runners that has to be given some sort of consideration. Although myself, from a professional point of view, I'm against Ma here. Yep. I don't believe he's got the horse that's going to be good enough.
And then it comes down to talent. Anything left field? You've got Chain of Lightning. You don't want to completely leave it out, even though it was huge odds last start and had the perfect race shape to win that TJ.
But how can you leave it out, right?
Yep.
I mean, what a performance, Ralphie. Seriously, what a performance. Moody?
He's got his eye in.
Why would he be here? 1,400, why? Why would he leave the horse to run here 1,400 if he didn't feel it could get victory? That's the way I'm reading him, and the horse is at the top of its game. So the question is this. I mean, what stunned me was when I went through the race matrix, but I'd score the horse firmly plus three and a new PB, and the race matrix says plus five, Ralphie. So I'm not going to ignore it. I am not going to ignore this horse. And if there was any runner that I'd be worried about, of all the horses that are potential, it's going to be this one. Has to be.
And I'll just ask you one more at bigger odds, mid-teens. Is NCAP a horse who just hasn't been able to yet put it together but has some talent? I'm just looking at that Golden Rose tight defeat there, which was the three-year-old race of the spring when Militarized just picked it off late, and he just sort of hasn't had things go his way in runs leading in.
Yeah, no, I think Paul Talley's made bigger mistakes than Joseph Pride, in my view. Well, first of all, the horse has had the four runs already, Ralphie.
Right? Shown its hand.
Yeah, well, it's shown its hand. Now, potentially, I mean, the horse can have a campaign. He's had a little bit more of a break, and it was really, in fairness to Paul Talley, as far as how many runs in the preparation, his best performance was fifth up, right, with the plus 3.414. But the setup is different. This is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not, the horse is there for another run, but he set up this campaign. Where's his mindset been? 1,200 metres first up, then went to 14, up to 16, down to 15. Where are you going, right? I just feel this affects horses to perform to their maximum efficiency. So if you're doing a 2,000 metres, coming back to the 1,600, and depending on where you are in your campaign, they can be very intelligent moves. And the same if you're going from 16 back to 14. But this horse has now had two runs, 15, 16, and what have they gone? They've gone for a 28-day freshen up to try and bring the speed back in the legs to obviously have a crack at this. So this decision obviously was made at some point, and they said, okay, we're going to freshen him up for this because he feels he's probably got one run left. So the reality is he's going to have to come to a new PB to be in the finish. I don't like that.
Nice. Let's get to the other group one, the first leg of the quaddy, race seven. The two-year-olds out to a mile. It's always a different dynamic for them to be able to run out that distance. The two favourites for the race are Manal off a size produce win and Linebacker off a narrow victory. A tight price over a node since had a miss. Broadsiding, though, has got that set to peak about it, although off a very soft tempo last week, was strong late. How are you seeing the Champagne in race seven?
Well, it's definitely a nice competitive race.
Yep.
And I'm obviously of the view, whilst it's a small field that can at times throw that curveball, I don't really believe the curveball's going to be there unless there's some deluge of rain and maybe change, it may change things. But the reality is, there's four possibilities. Linebacker and a node, first of all, they're going to be in the golden spot up front in the forward position, pretty much guaranteed in the lanes. And the question is, who can run those, either of those two horses down? Is it going to be Manal or is it going to be Broadsiding?
Yeah.
That's how I'm seeing. The logic says it's got to be Manal. The golden spot, Jamie Carr. Everything sort of points, this is the horse. It's got a reasonable score on board already. It's at a minus 1.6. Those three horses meet the hurdle rate of minus 2.2. So they absolutely make that criteria. But do they all have another run?
Well, this is why I wanted to ask you about Broadsiding, because it's almost, sure, it's different, but the same dynamic we were speaking about, it would have made your list time last week. The soft tempo, quick backup is just so good.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's got here.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can do with a win. But still, this is the downside for them. It's four starts. At what point are you done?
Yes.
Now, up until last run, up to a mile, we can't say the horse is done. And you're right, Ralphie. It's possible that it's been saved by, you know, like ending its campaign, because when they go very slowly, sometimes it buys you that half run. I call it the candle, Ralphie, before that candle wick, you know, turns itself off. It's possible with not using the big extension and overtaxing itself that there could be another run left in the horse for sure.
Is this the type of race you're likely to play in? I know we'll talk business tomorrow.
Right. Now, I haven't decided it. I like the race myself, right? But I haven't sort of personally looked at the chessboard and said, okay, where's the money going for me, right?
Yeah.
I haven't got there yet, right? Yeah. So okay. We will wait.
Let's have a look at race nine. Well, it's a handicap. It's a benchmark 99, so it's as high a benchmark as you can get. And there's a few here that have got some big booms on them. Can they deliver tomorrow, I suppose, is the question there. But what we can pretty much lock in, Vince. So we should be seeing some pace here with ONL, Astara and Winchap in the race.
Yes, we should. Absolutely, Ralphie. Everything sort of points to this race, they could take off.
Yep.
So I give some consideration about Jay Ford, what's his typical modus of operandi. And you can see with him on a Winchap, he doesn't really like to take him past benchmark, does he? So that's one thing that I just in the back of my mind. But I know a star, Rachel King, let's go. So this will be the first runner in my view that's going to say, we're going to run, and that's going to guarantee us an above benchmark first section. Are we going to get outside of that average band of 0+2? Well, it depends on what Jay Ford and Tim Clark does. Well, Tim Clark's going to be happy to sit, I reckon, on coin toss. And Jay Ford may also sit and just could be INO star rolling along the front and not going to do any Pride of Jenny moves, Ralphie, but definitely I am expecting a genuine speed, a benchmark +2 as well right now.
Well, Jimmy Starr's the favourite for the race. He's starting to be costly, but the talent isn't in question. The question is, can he bring his A game here? He absolutely had a buy there at Newcastle last start, just jammed in traffic all the way up the straight. J-Mac goes on. The Flemington run was well documented, but it was on a 14-day backup from a monster performance at Caulfield. How does he all line up here?
Well, you're right, Ralph. I mean, the way the horse stormed home with an 8.6 lengths above benchmark last 400, they certainly weren't making the wrong decision about where they felt the horse was at. Yes, the 6.7 lengths below benchmark first section may not have helped the horse a lot, Ralphie. It was a good move in the mid-race, monster finish. But, geez, you know, I'm just sitting back here, Ralphie. I mean, it's hard not to have the horse on top based on what it did at Caulfield, right?
Yep.
I mean, 1.8 above, race matrix almost aligned with it, best performance of the day. The roars were 9.9, Ralph. I mean, so there was nowhere to hide. The track had plenty of speed, and this horse delivered. I mean, just give this some thought, Ralphie. Here you are at Caulfield, over 1,400 metres. You're going 0.6 above benchmark. You're at Newcastle two starts later, and you're going 6.7 below, like 7.5 lengths slow. In other words, much more conserving of energy. And then you go to the last 400 of both horses, or the last 200 even, right? 3.6 above at Caulfield off an above benchmark first section. This is the last 200. And at Newcastle, it's 3.5 above. Now, that's the interesting part, right? You then look at the last 400 of both horses, 8.6 off a much slower pace versus 6.3. This is the last 400. Is it possible that Jimmy Starr peaked last start and he's done? So right now, I'm just sitting here. Again, I love using my imaginary chessboard, Ralphie, although I like playing chess, by the way. I did buy that Chessmate game and play.
I'm not playing you. There's no way I'll play you.
Yeah, you play against the robots. I like that, right? Because it allows you to think a lot. But here's the challenge, right? Is it possible that decline over the last 200 metres was the first signal that I'm done? So that's the question. Now, any other trainer, Ralphie, I'm just parking it in the bin and I'm not even going to use that run of Caulfield. But, Ma, I ain't going to do that. Right? I'm not going to do that. I'm just not, right? I'm just going to sit. And yeah. J-Mac, I'm saying, hold on, Acardi. This is an easy way to get sizzled, right? So be patient. Right now, sit it there. Let's see who else is there and if there's any real challenges before we make a finite decision on that.
So it was in traffic, but as you always say, yeah, it's one thing the traffic. Just let's look at the facts. And that's the facts there of what it actually did do. So there is some questions on that.
Well, there has to be, because at Caulfield, you've seen what the horse is capable of. It's just that form here. We won't even be talking about any other runs. We'll just go to the window, go and get our money, because we don't have to think about it too much.
Yep. Okay. A couple others at odds, yep. And that
For sure.
I'm not surprised you put it in there. So Flying Crazy, a couple of, I'll call them crazy, or probably sleepy tactics at Caulfield. But if it brings its best 1400, it has to be in the race, and it's 40 to 1.
I just had to. I was having some headaches with this horse on what to do. And the headaches was this. I was wanting to try and have my own understanding about, are you going as good as last campaign or not? And therefore, I can make a decision, because both runs this campaign haven't been there. But then when I sat back and gave a lot more thought and said, well, that Rose Hill run, 3.2 above, third up, okay, the race makes you saying plus 1.8, but that's fine. 1.8 is fine. That's like in line where we are with Jimmy Starr, right? I'm saying, I get that. So let's compare the two. Well, how's it gone this campaign? Both runs first section. The speed hasn't been there, Ralphie, for the race. And I don't feel it's allowed the horse. But when we look at that first up run carefully, and we look at the way the horse closed out with a plus 3.4 last 400, and I roll it back to what it did first up the previous campaign. Okay, that day there, even though the horse was well beaten, did have a 9.5 lengths above standard last 400. All it just says is this. We know this horse has a booming sprint. We haven't seen it yet. But the overall scorecard says that the horse actually trended race to race, first up to first up, better this time in than last time in. And the reason for the softer performance last start when stepping up to the 1400 is related to the race shape, Ralphie.
Yep.
It was 9 lengths below benchmark. It was an excellent mid-race squeeze, 9.3. So I went, you know, on the racing analytics platform, and I had a look and say, "How? What a surprise! Two different races, yet their mid-race squeezes were very similar. This is second up to second up. One's a 1400, one's a 1500. Rose Hill 1500 second up, mid-race squeeze 8.9 off a 5.6 lengths below benchmark and stronger mid and late overall. Here we've gone off a 9 lengths below benchmark, mid-race squeeze 9.3. And then I have a look at the score. It was inside the top 20 squeezes for the day. And that's it's a strong squeeze without taxing the horse. So this is a runner. It's all about where you are in running and at what point you take off. If you overuse the squeeze, you're going to be in trouble. And if you don't, you've got a horse that's going to be good enough to win this race. And that's why I said, you know what, I'm just going to put one in at a price. It deserves to be there. It's Maltese, all those things. And I'm actually seeing it could be the dark horse.
That's at 40s. I did jump one, and that's Waterford. Now, sometimes the market just gets sick of backing a horse, but look at its SP profile. It's been very strong, $280, $450, $5, $350, $550. But you often said when we were previewing this horse, just bring me some substance. Well, if he brings what he did first up last prep, and his trials seemingly are very good, that's going to get him pretty close, isn't it? I mean, 1.1 length above benchmark, went third to Golden Mile and then Inevitable.
Yeah, and the race matrix was sort of pinning it around that 2.4 range, Ralphie. So, and then again, we look at how powerful this horse can be with given, you know, the race speed. So, again, let's just say we are running benchmark plus two. Well, if the horse is traveling at the same speed, 7 lengths below benchmark, he might be a little bit out of the range.
Yep.
But if he's going 5 lengths below benchmark, and mind you, 5 lengths, this horse is a 3 to 6 lengths below benchmark first section, 100% comfort zone. Mind you, it can also go -3 or -1 or 1 length below benchmark and still not overreaching in terms of its stride. The aerobic capacity will still be in checks. In other words, that harmonization of the breathing will all be in check and correct. But I'm just sitting back here. Look at that last 400 that day, 9.7 above. Probably, in my view, giving me that franking about how big and what an explosion this horse has over last 400. It's bigger than Jimmy Starr's, its last 400, Ralphie.
That's significant.
Yes. So I'm sitting there trialing well. to me, it looks very clear. This horse is probably looking for this run, and then probably, oh, I'm just making this up right now. Hopefully, it's going to Queensland because I'll be looking forward to following it in as well.
No doubt. All right, for those taking the quaddie, before we get to the other stakes races, the last race, it's a benchmark 88. It seems like a pretty thin race, so that's what I was keen to get your thoughts on a few here, starting with the favourite for the race, and the, again, there's some that have got a bit of boom on them, one being Kazoo. First up, lightly raced, and its trial to the eye was, your eyes fell out. It was at Rose Hill mid-March, and I do like that there's, at least it's been a few weeks since then, because often when we see these explosive trials, they leave it out there.
Yeah, well, this is all about, if you look at the tradition of Waller, generally speaking, he likes to have his horses, you know, ready to, you know, like ready to peak somewhere after three runs. And there are certain horses that he identifies that he likes to have them ready to go first up. And this is one of them for sure. There's no doubt this horse is coming to play first up as well, Ralphie. And rightfully so, actually, because I'm sure it's probably has Mr. Waller in a situation, well, how good is he really? How good is he really? And this is when I feel when he, and I don't speak to him, so I'm just speaking on what I feel the thoughts might be, right? Yeah. I'm not saying that's what they are, but I just sit back and just look at his overall pattern. When he's not really sure about are they capable or not, he preps them up, gets them very, very forward, not peaking, but somewhere near it, because he is brilliant at then tapering that back and getting him to peak again. This is one trainer that can do this. And if he's got a campaign in mind, let's say, for Queensland, and that's all I'm thinking, I'm doing a Ralph Horowitz here, right, thinking about the future, then he needs this horse to turn up and run big. And big for him means first or second, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
And why not? I mean, he's pretty much on the race matrix. He's a borderline benchmark horse. This is the right distance first up. And even if there happens to be a little bit of give in the ground and we just end up with an S5, then that's not going to be against the horse either. So I do have an expectation this horse is going to run big. Whether he's a betting proposition or not, I haven't given that any thought myself just yet. But he's definitely one of the horses that I'm looking at very closely.
So he'll be going will be going forward with Kaboo, and Kaboo's a horse who to date has been explosive first up, really tapered off badly last start, but the trials look like they've been good, and he's on point to turn up tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, that first up run was fantastic. It was 0.8 above, pretty much franked by the race matrix, and when you stress tested that, the class classification was right on point. It was like plus one. I like what the horse did through the first two sections, 0.6 above through that, you know, critical first 400. Between the 8 and the 4 was plus 3.7. Got into the top 10 for the day, Ralphie. They're all good signs, right? And never in the lanes. I mean, I look at the lanes structure, just never in the lanes. So, in other words, what I mean by never in the lanes is it wasn't going to be advantaged in terms of the overall score if it was out a lot wider. The subsequent two starts, I don't know what happened or why the horse hasn't performed.
I wonder if it's one of your flame-out theories that it was only a 98-day break, two trials, so it must have been pretty fit first up. Mm-hmm. And then this time in, 189 days, real big spell and good trials.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is what I'm hoping for, is that we're going to see a horse that's going to turn up.
Yep.
And even though it's a much longer break, the Waterhouse team are very good in getting their horses, I'm not saying peaking, but in excellent shape for a first up crack. And the 0.8, it's not a big hurdle for this horse first up. Like, it's got a lot of talents, lightly raced, hasn't had a lot of starts, Ralphie. Could just come out and go to the next stage. Or it might be one of those horses that we see, Ralphie, that, you know, 0.8's the best the horse can do and it's going to chase that. Either way, this is a serious threat, purely off the first up run of last campaign. It's not going to, you can't ignore it. Impossible. Like, it's just, you just can't ignore it.
I mentioned Pirelli. I mentioned first up SP profiles, and mm-hmm. Pirelli's got that, but he hasn't really delivered enough. But he's shown glimpses of good talent, and last two preps he's been gelded. So I suppose he's started to put it together a bit more. Ran second last start, given a 7-week break. Maybe it says that they've aimed the back end of today and then going to Queensland. I don't know, but where is his upside? And also, where could he fit in the run, given he's drawn wide, and maybe that means he gets last crack at him?
Yeah, well, if he does get last crack at him, he can produce an excellent last 400 metres. That would also... Jamie Carr, you know, I'm not sure what will Jamie do. Does she want to weave between horses, or she's going to look for the wide running? But just looking at Jamie Carr firstly and the way she tends to handle herself in the bigger fields, she has a tendency to always go to the wider part of the track. Not that she doesn't go in between horses, but that's her tendency. So we can take that position that possibly that's what they'll do with this horse. James Cumming, he's just been, I don't really feel that his stable's made a lot of good moves so far, Ralphie, through the preparation, and a number of his horses haven't delivered. So I'm just sitting here saying he's a bit of a headache, but he's got a horse that's good enough to win.
Might be a skinny race. Tom, we'll talk more tomorrow business-wise. Race 6 in the program, the JRA Plate. Some nice horses here. We've seen it, and I like they're pretty well exposed, so we can give strong opinions on where they're at as far as right now. But there's also an emerging one in New Energy. How are you seeing the pace in this race?
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, a lot's got to do with what's Goldman going to do with Regan Bayless. Where are we going with that horse? What sort of speed? He's a typical benchmark horse. I can't see any reason why he shouldn't go that speed. He surely is not going to want to go slow right from the outset. I just feel that this horse looks set to put a reasonable pace in the race. And what I mean by reasonable here, Ralphie, is hopefully we're not going 10 lengths below benchmark. Hopefully we're going to be running at a pace that's going to be realistically benchmark or slightly better.
Bordeaux couldn't run down Serpentine two starts back and then went to the Tancred, 2400 Group 1 level. You're actually saying that it's probably the best setup here as far as your computer's concerned on your Friday morning.
Hard to knock it. Really, it is, Ralphie. Very, very hard to knock. I don't mind the setup in terms of where it's at. Firstly, we look at it. They went first up Randwick 2,000 metres. That's probably the first signal. Overall performance, 0.8 below benchmark. Hard to knock that. That was very good. 4.9 lengths below benchmark. Is the horse in the right form and in the right condition? Well, you need to be if you're going to then go 5.2 lengths above benchmark between the 8 and the 4. And we had a little bit of a taper. It was a sustained taper over the last 400 metres with the intel indicating that the horse held its speed going from 3.6 above to 0.9 above between the 4 and the 2 and match that over the last 200 metres. But that means the overall conditioning of the horse was around 2.5 lengths. And off this sort of setup, that's a great sign, because what we didn't see is we didn't see like a last 200 where the horse went minus 5 or minus 8. And sometimes that can give poor signals about where the horse is at, but this, to me, that gave a very strong signal. And I felt that it was franked up to 2,400, and then we just look, the trainer. I mean, Annabelle Neesham, if she wants to have the horse screwed down first up, ready to go, doesn't matter the distance, she can do it. She's just so capable, right? One of the best in the game.
Yep.
And she's so young, and we're already saying that. Well, I'm already saying that about her. And I look at it and say, okay, early speed, 6.5 lengths below benchmark, marginally behind that Randwick run. The mid-race move was bigger, and how far above benchmark it was stronger. It was 6.2. I look for the taper. And now, again, this is the insight, Ralphie. 1.8 above between the 6 and the 4 versus 3.6 the start before. 4 to the 2 below benchmark, minus 0.5. Last 200, minus 0.9. So a little bit more of a drop-off because of that extra 400 metres and second up, right? I just feel coming back to the 2,000, great. Absolutely great. It is a bit of a grinding horse. In other words, it's not going to have any big explosion, 400-metre sprint, but it's going to grind.
Yep.
And this is a good race for grinders.
What about, where's the stablemate fit in at Fawkner Park? Had race shapes against it its first two starts. Young Werther just owned the race at Flemington on its terms, just bowled, had a bit of a bowl along, but then smashed him in the Albury Cup. We're pretty happy about this horse midwinter last year, and he looks like he's still got another run in him, hasn't he?
Well, this is always a horse that I felt may have had some really decent potential.
Yeah.
And then I hate it when I see this, right? And I'm not being negative on the horse here, by the way, is that, as I've often said in the past, that most horses, all they do all their life is chase their PB from their early preps, right? And this horse is doing that. So what that just means for me is this, Ralph, is that we've got a horse that's around that plus one range, and that's where it's at, and it's trending to that. It's absolutely trending to that. First up, 0.8 below benchmark. Race matrix saying it's around benchmark. Was a good performance. Then it went to Flemington over 1,800 metres. It was a 3.7 lengths below benchmark overall performance. Bit of the race pace might have affected it. And then it went to Albury, and it was 0.5 below best of the day. I like that part, right? Because not easy for 2,000 metre horses to get the pole position anywhere, right?
Yep.
And then I look at what it did. It was the first time the horse had to ask for some speed, go 2.4 below, between the 8 and the 4, it's going half a length above, and then it was very solid last 400. So all the signs are, you're right at your top of your game. Is plus one enough to win this race? That's it. That's the question, because that's the expectation this horse should run to.
So where does New Energy fit in? Had a decent career over in Ireland. How many starts it had 11 starts over there before it got here. Its first up run looked amazing when it was second to Fearson, and that was on a really on pace day, and it was the one rushing through the line. Then it went to the Group One level at the back. It was specked in the market, but things against looked like a very nice trial leading in. J-Mac Road, which, as I've touched on before, I do like it when the good riders had it, and he's favourite for the race. Obviously, he's marked on potential. What potential do you give it?
Well, right now, the safe potential is that it's probably a benchmark plus one horse.
Yep.
On what we've seen in this country. And it's hard to just turn around and say it's better than that right now here, because we're just going straight to 2,000 metres third up. Is it ready for that? Well, the indicators sort of suggest that it is, and the stable, I'm not going to try and say this stable doesn't know what they're doing. They certainly know what they're doing, and this is a great – this, if you're going to be looking for these sort of races around 2,000 or more, well, this is the race you should be able to turn up and win.
Yeah.
If you're any good.
Yep. Wouldn't be surprised if they then go to Queensland as well. All right, I will ask you one more, because you've got in your early edition race speed profiles. Almania, it's just one of those that's going to be in the right spot, and very honest horse who deserves a spot on the podium, I guess.
I feel this is a little bit hidden, this runner.
Yeah.
Well, can we go back and have a look at that Rose Hill run, 11th of the 3rd?
Yep.
1,900 metres. Pretty hard to fault, 2.2 above. Overextended through the first section, going plus 6.8. But still finished the last 400 with a 0.6 above. I look at the raws, 8.1 on the day. That's strong, Ralphie. A little bit of a dip between the 4 and the 2. Cost the horse probably a length and a half, and rebounded off that. Very hard to do. Race matrix did score it a bit lower and didn't quite make benchmark. But when I sit back and look at just the characteristics of the race outside its normal pattern through early speed, I have a different view about where it should or shouldn't be. But then I look at that last start run at Rose Hill, and there it is, going with great pace, 4.3 above. And then I look at the last 400 metres, minus 1.3. Had a little bit more of a setback, I feel, between the 4 and the 2 in terms of energy efficiency. Almost cost the horse two lengths of energy inefficiency. But still, everything sort of points that this horse is going to peak tomorrow, Ralphie. And what I mean by peak to at least perform somewhere near what it did the campaign before. It's had, had 315 days off. They've probably taken their time. And Chris Lees, he is a very good trainer, Ralphie. And these are the sort of races that work well for him.
I just want to underline that, that you said about the roars, because there was a reason why post-impressionists were so short when asked to back up in the BMW, or the Tancred nowadays it's called. But, okay, it failed, but that raw time was amazing, and it was the clear best on pace of this. It's probably worth underlining that performance.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, big odds. Righto, the sprint, Hallmark Stakes, Front Page's favourite. It's Front Page of betting opposition, proposition.
Oh, I've been waiting for you to come to this race. I wasn't sure whether you were going to get touch on it.
Absolutely. But
right now, on the first work that I did, Ralph, I said, well, I don't know if the price is there, but this is the money horse. Like, this horse is going to make us some money. I mean, that performance last start, Ralphie. I just sit back in and say 2.2 above. Race Matrix has scored it higher. It was first off of 133 days, top eight for the day. It's had 28 days. This horse parades well, just wins.
The only overthinking I can put there, and this is for you to pull apart, is he has had some issues over the journey. Last prep, he was fantastic at Randwick first up in that Kosciuszko, and then fell off the cliff down to Melbourne. So is it got any concerns about him backing it up? Not on what he does on the clock, but can he do it again?
Yes, for sure. Lovely. Okay, absolutely he can, right? Why couldn't he? Why couldn't he do it? Let's test that thought process that you had.
Yep.
When we, and it's a good one, Ralph, and an important one, because that can shape how much you should or shouldn't bet if you feel the horse is the one to beat or the only one that you're interested in. Instead of, so you're a form student, the mindset could be, well, if I can't get the price, because it's not the price I want, then maybe the horse I got second and third pick, they are the price that I want and they're overs and I want to back that. And I'm saying to you, that's not usually the best strategy, even though this is the way everybody's been educated to think, right? Yes. You know, if we're going to live in a world of a matrix, then that's what everybody's educated to think, and I was no exclusion from that. But when you actually go back and test those thoughts, you're far better off always backing the best horse. And if you feel there's a chink, you either stay out or downgrade your bet, because you'll make more money in the long run. So we're going to test that theory. First up, 15th to the 10th, 22, Randwick. Bang. Plus 2.2 when it won. Then went second up to Melbourne. Flemington runs 10 of 14, but goes plus one and a race matrix score of plus 2.6. And you look at the way the race was run that day, it tanked out over the last 400 metres. It was done, but the pressure was on from start to finish.
Yes. Explosive early first 400.
Yep. Now, is this a horse that, I guess, if I'm listening to you carefully, Ralphie, that is this horse just like the type of horse that just has one run for the campaign and that's it and we're done? Is that the sort of horse we've got? Well, I have to go back a lot further. So this is when you can do the deep dive, right? And peel yourself all the way back and how you can use past data to give you some further insight. And we've got to go all the way back to 21, where the horse had three runs of that campaign, and then the first run was off a 336-day break. It produced a 0.9 below benchmark, and then third up at Moonee Valley, 1,200 metres, was 0.2 below benchmark. It actually improved and used a lot. That was the race where the horse used so much more pressure early. That day went 4.5 above benchmark, which is like right at the top end of the speed for this horse, and almost won that race. So not to be too frightened of that, just the way the horse went last start, to me is a signal that perhaps the best of this horse is about to come.
Well, it sounds like that's the type of runner on a small field that you'll be whacking the place on side and you'll be...
Well, what I'm hoping for is I hope a lot of the robots and that are thinking, well, this is also just a one-horse first-up wonder and get the drifts.
Well, there'll be some respect for Marzu, who's got, you know, but sure. Is that behind him? Arf Cabin, is that behind him? The one I am interested in, now gelded for Lana. Because Valana sort of went a bit of a sideways prep, to use your phrase, last prep. But this time last year, I'm pretty sure this was this race. 1.4 lengths above benchmark winning this race. So he's his trials have indicated that he wants to be a racehorse again.
Yeah, well, firstly with Marzu, obviously if there's rain around, it's going to be, you know, great asset for the horse. There's a high possibility from first up to second up. Even though it was 28 days, the horse never turned up. Never turned up, so you can't knock it. That first up run was excellent, though. That was like a horse that was here. Again, is it just Joseph Pride not having, you know, the best of strategies in his prep? But this is an ideal race, particularly if the rain comes, right? So that's how I see that runner. Now, when we look at Af Cabin, well, I guess we should touch on that horse as well before we get to Villana Ralphie. He's really hard to knock. I'm not sitting here saying I'm only interested in this horse if it's wet. No. I mean, this horse has to be seriously respected here. And I look at it and say, all right, even though last start at 1,200 metres, that was travelling 5 lengths below benchmark early, 2.5 below between the 8 and the 4. Nothing thrilling, no finish at all. I haven't looked to see if there was anything not right with the horse, but that was an out-of-character performance compared to what it did first up. And this can happen, Ralphie, right? When you have a massive break, like 273 days, you may need a bit of time to recover.
From a big first-up run,
yep. And I just feel now 1,200 metres, look out. Don't care about the track conditions, good or wet. This horse is going to be right there, and I'm paying huge respect. And then we're just going to close out with Villana, if you like you said. Well, maybe they've missed the boat here. That's what I'm saying to myself. Like, here we are. We're first up 133 days. Is that right? You reckon that's the best strategy for this horse? Maybe 1,200 metres it can go. Plus 1.4 first up, does like a wet track. So if there's wet ground around, like if it rains, then you probably got to have a bicy more to than against. If the track's clean and got some speed, maybe it's going to be a run behind where you need to be to, you know, really test this field. But I'm respecting it because my view is this, Ralphie. It's all about front page. If we can come to the conclusion by tomorrow morning that this horse is a high probability of repeating last start, everybody else has got real problems unless there's a wet track. Because I only see the wet track right now as being the ground that stifles its capacity of not reproducing what it did last start and brings those three horses that you initially touched on into the race as being serious threats of winning.
All right, we'll just touch on these other two races. Mm-hmm. The Packer Plate race 4, the Waller's got two of the favourites in the race, Tannhauser, who was super last start, and then Kintyre, who lines up with Salt Coats, and they're the second and third favourites, as in Waller's got Salt Coats, Gary Portelli's got Kintyre, and they all ran against each other, as did Noisy Boy ran second, and Anderson Bridge, another one of Chris Waller's horses there. It's often been a race for an emerging type of stayer. Is this a race that you think you'll be participating in?
Yeah, well, this is one of those races where I have to go back to the old school days. I'm surprised they're doing it, but obviously these trainers need to sometime bring that tool out of the shed, and usually slow horses, the old school of thinking, I used to see it so often, let's just keep bringing it up in distance so they can tell the owners that, oh, look, this horse is going to be much better over more ground. And, of course, they're thinking about the back pocket. No, I'm not being rude, but this is just business.
Yeah.
And really the truth is you're hoping because you've got a slow horse that you're going to get in a slow race and you might win a slow race, right? So that's my starting point with the Waller horse, Tannhauser. We've got a slow horse.
Right. All right. Well, let's not even waste time on that one because I just want to round off because we're nearly there. Let's round off with speaking of Waller, Scarlet Oak. What have you seen from Scarlet Oak, who has had one start in New Zealand, couldn't have won any easier. Of course, you've put the clock on it, and then had the barrier trial that said, I'm coming to play, 8-day backup. And you often say, Vince, with a horse, and you've said it actually earlier in this podcast with Chris Waller, he likes finding out what their talent level is early.
Okay, so we just jumped away from race 4 to race 3. You went straight there. You went for the jugular. You didn't even worry about what that
slow races. I know you don't slow races.
I was talking about that horse.
Okay, right. Sorry.
Right. So, okay, that's all right. It's all right. We can address that tomorrow morning if we need to, right? But all right, let's look at race three. Scarlet Oak, wow. Another fast horse, 1.5 lengths below benchmark is where we sit with this horse right now. What do we need to win? We need a roughly around a half length below benchmark to be competitive. So this horse has to find the length to be competitive. So they found the right race.
Nice.
That's all I can say. Can you go there, beat your chest and say, well, some people may. Just go in and let's go and back it. Me, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what this horse can do.
All right. Well, as we said, because you're getting this, you get tomorrow. And once we've got scratchings, a bit more clarity on the track condition and some further thoughts from a business point of view is what we talk about on Saturday morning when we'll do a 15-minute update podcast. In the meantime, thanks so much for being a customer of Year Round Carnival.